Alex, in the last few moments we have, let's just admit it, we love each other. We always have.
Wait, what? No, we haven't.
Really?
Welcome to Ragnarok, your home of the Nerdpocalypse.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Ragnarok Episode 2. Again, Ragnarok is your home for the Nerdpocalypse. I'm Ed.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Alex.
Eric.
I'm Iron.
I feel like we needed some sort of, like, clever title. Ragnarok, Episode 2, Mystery of Ghost Cove.
It could be E5, because it's about E3, and also Ed and I are here.
Or E5, because it's Episode 2 about E3. 3 plus 2 is 5.
Mystery of Ghost Cove is much more interesting.
That's true.
I think the Mystery of Ghost Cove sounds much more interesting than this year's E3.
Well, welcome to Ragnarok Episode 2, Mystery of Ghost Cove. Where we will be discussing E3 2011, otherwise known as the Electronics Entertainment Expo. But you don't really need to know that.
Yes, I do.
We all did some research on this topic. I don't know how many of you actually watched the coverage of E3, but we watched a lot of it ourselves. And today,
we did lots of strenuous research involving remote controls and couch sitting.
I was on my computer.
I used my computer.
On a lot of websites.
I developed a bed sore.
I drank a beer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I drank a beer while doing some research, too. Air high five.
I wish I was in on that.
Today, our topics, we've got four big topics for you. We're going to be discussing the two big announcements, which are the Wii U and the PlayStation Vita. We'll be talking about those two announcements for a little while. Yes, those two announcements for a little while. And then we're going to be doing a little bit of complaining about the Microsoft Kinect and franchise milking, which are two things that we have seen a lot of at E3 this year. Microsoft seems to be heavily reliant on the Kinect, and there seems to be a lot of sequels and third games coming out, and all sorts of extensions. Thank you on established franchises. But our first topic that we'll be discussing is the Wii U.
Yeah,
I like how you made that really like exciting for the listeners. Halfway through this, we're going to start complaining a bunch.
We're going to give you lots of exciting news, and then
that's
we're going to bitch.
That's kind of what happened.
I think we established last time that we're nerds. We complain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it happens.
It's part of our function in
life. Yeah. We hate the things we love.
Mm-hmm.
I complain about you guys complaining.
That's true.
Well, and then we complain about you complaining about us complaining.
It's a full cycle.
Inception.
A full cycle?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You mean vicious circle?
To each his own.
Alright, well, Meyer, why don't you take it away with the Wii U?
Alrighty.
Wii U.
Best name ever. Mm-hmm. Best name. Just add a U to the console's name. So, basically,
the PlayStation 3 U.
I can't wait for the U.
You know what really upsets me about the name? I already used all of my jokes when the Wii came out. You know, like, I don't want to play a system that's name I would say when I was going down a slide. Like, all of these jokes were used when the Wii was announced, and now it's like,
really? You say Wii U when you go down
a
slide?
Wii U!
The joke doesn't really work.
I haven't gone down a slide in a long time.
Right, I'm saying all these jokes were used when the Wii came out.
But none of the jokes work now because it's Wii U. Who goes down a slide and goes, Wii U!
Oh, I guess
well, maybe they're going down the slide and then they get hit by something in the stomach on the way down. Wii U!
Or maybe they go down the slide and they see their arch nemesis. Wii U!
So, the Wii U is out 2012. It's probably holiday 20, because that's when everything comes out.
Make most money,
yeah, definitely.
As for the specifics.
Come out on Martin Luther King Day. Everybody will get their Wii U as a Martin Luther King Day present.
I have a dream to own a Wii U.
Mm-hmm. So, specifics of the Wii U. It's not that much bigger than the Wii. It lays horizontal.
Instead of vertically?
Instead of vertically.
Well, the Wii can be horizontal.
Yeah.
That's no, it has that little thing to make it stand up.
Yeah, but it can be horizontal.
If you don't put it on the stand, you can just lay it
down. Yeah, I mean, I'd often lay mine down. Honestly.
Oh, mine's always up.
Mine's not in the stand right now.
Hey, yo.
Anyway, and for the first time ever, a Nintendo console is going to be in HD with 1080p graphics.
Well, I just feel that's slightly disingenuous to say, because the 360 was the first time ever a Microsoft console was in HD. But, I mean, I understand why they're touting that, because the Wii didn't have it, but it's not like Nintendo is too far removed from the HD thing.
Kind of.
I mean, it's been about 5 years since the Wii came out now, but it's, you know, they didn't really think that it was as big of a deal then.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand.
And then reality happened.
Yeah.
Wasn't in 1080p, though.
Well, they ended up putting themselves a generation behind to, you know, get more access... Or make the console more affordable to more people, and to get more access to the casual gaming market.
Right.
I mean, I guess they didn't think it was going to be as big as it was, and then the 5 years happened,
mm-hmm.
and now they're so far behind. I mean, 5 years is a long time.
They're a whole generation off.
So now Nintendo.
I mean, on the other hand, there are still lots of people that don't have HD TVs.
That's true.
No, it's true. But
more people now, though.
Yeah.
As we said in our last episode. Listen to our first episode, by the way.
It doesn't have an HDTV.
No, I don't have an HDTV.
My main TV isn't an HD one.
I think in my house is like 4 HDTVs.
Fuck you.
Your house is fucking special, then.
I know.
There's only 2 in my house.
So it's fully backwards compatible with Wii games, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty
and
good.
Yeah.
It also it supports all the Wii's peripherals, you know, the Wiimotes and balance board.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't really have any peripherals, but
no. But I mean, it's good for any time that a system does something, it's backwards compatible. It's definitely always good.
Yeah. You know what? Nintendo just saved Eric a bunch of money.
But on the other hand, it doesn't play GameCube games, so
now I'll be able to use my Wii Fit board that I don't.
So you got to keep your Wii so you can play
or your GameCube.
Well,
I mean, I saw a picture where they had like the Wii Zapper and like a new controller like right on top of it. I'm not sure how that's gonna work.
Does it play Nintendo 64 games? Though? That's
impressive.
I don't think it has a cartridge slot. however, play Super Nintendo games.
Oh, excellent!
That's nice. Not true. I don't want to put disinformation out there.
Disseminate is that the word you're trying to say?
I kind of combined disinformation and disseminate. I didn't want to disseminate disinformation. Mm-hmm.
Disinformation,
but then dis happened.
Yeah.
Now, Meyer, do you know? Can you take your virtual console games from the Wii and move them over to the Wii U?
Probably not. Oh, I mean, I guess you could with your memory cards. You can probably
port them over.
Yeah, but I'm not sure exactly though. I don't see why. I mean, I don't know. Now, you would guess that you could probably, you know, for the memory cards.
Because that would be a good thing for them to do. Because that's mostly why I use my Wii, for the virtual console.
Yeah. I don't think the
Wii was. I thought the Wii was just a virtual console.
I don't think that's going to be going away. They might. There's no, like, the thing, like, when you buy a 360, you have, you know, your gamer tag, and everything you download is hooked to your gamer
tag.
Right,
so there might be some sort of, like, something you can download to.
Right, but the Wii doesn't have that. Like, there's no, like, Wii username.
Yeah, you,
like,
can't you name your Wii?
You name your Wii.
You don't get essential accounts. Yeah. Like the things
my Wii is named Adam Wii.
I think, don't you get like a Wii user number? And it's like some
you have like a friend code.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's got to be some way, because otherwise how do they know how many points you're like? There's got to be some way for them to identify you.
Well, what I'm saying, like it's on your specific console. Like that information is saved on your console. It's not like that's like when you have your gamer tag for Xbox, it's tied to your gamer tag. Like how many points you have. What you've downloaded. So, like, but Eric, your hard drive crashed. You had to port everything. Oh, but all everything
but
you
I
downloaded.
I didn't have to pay for the arcade games or the Rock Band songs or anything again.
Well, I mean, you had to download
them
again.
Yeah, to re-download them.
But you didn't have to pay for them again.
Right.
I'm just hoping Nintendo's going to be able to do something like that.
Probably.
So the console, basically, the actual console itself wasn't, like, the, you know, at the forefront of the presentation. What the big thing was is about the new controller for the Wii, which...
The Wii U.
Which you can only have one controller per.
Which I think system. I think it's worth saying, why they called it the Wii U. I think.
Oh yeah.
Meyer told me this, and I thought it was very funny. Did you guys hear this?
I think so.
I don't remember.
I didn't.
It was Reggie Fils-Aimé was like, you know, he started the presentation, and he was like, oh, so when we made the Wii, it was for all of us, for all of us, but now the Wii is for you. Meaning, like, the hardcore gamers.
So which sort of
ties into their only one controller per system thing, though.
Yeah, but that is
one tablet controller.
This is all for you.
That's true. That is, it's a very selfish system.
It's like it's the Twix of video game consoles.
So the new controller, it's basically a tablet. It has a 6.2-inch screen, a nice 16x9 touch screen, and two circle pads, a D-pad, all the buttons. As it comes with a stylus, which was kind of cool. Has a built-in accelerometer, has a gyroscope, which is pretty awesome. Front-facing camera, and a microphone.
The one thing I did hear, which again sort of goes to Nintendo being a little behind the curve, is that it's single-touch and not multi-touch.
That's true. Mm.
So, by the time 5 years is up on the Wii U, the tablet's going to be obsolete again.
No.
Tablet's already obsolete.
That's true.
Though, by the time this launches, they might develop a new controller, for the Wii U.
Yeah, but just think about how expensive. I mean, that a new tablet controller would be as much as a new system. Mm-hmm. It would definitely run at least $100.
Yeah, probably.
And that's an investment. Yeah, that's not like $30 for a new controller.
There are people who would buy it.
Oh yeah, one of them sitting right here, Eric.
Hello,
hi, Eric.
So with a new controller, there's many different ways you can play the game now. You can play with just the controller. You don't need a TV. Which is pretty awesome. The game, you can use both the TV and the controller by himself. You could use the controller's motion control, which they showed, basically, let's say you can have you have the new controller in front of the screen, right? And you can, what's on the controller, the screen on the controller is on the screen of the TV, and you move it maybe to the left, and now you can see, what would be on the left. There's sort of a game where there's projectiles coming at you, and you go oh no, it's coming to the left, and you go move to the left and to the right. So that's kind
of
cool.
So it gives you an extended view of the game world.
Right. That's where they have the gyroscope and the accelerometer.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. Then there's you can use the stylus where they show, this guy drawing Link on it. There was a gameplay with now. Not only you could use the Wii new controller, but you can also use the actual Wii remotes for that, which is pretty awesome. Yeah. So now we don't have to spend all that money for all these different controllers. We have basically I have maybe two now controllers just for the console.
Though I'm sure that they're going to develop the red colored Mario tablet. And then you got to go out and buy that, and even though you're only going to be able to use one controller, people are still going to go out and buy it.
Yeah, well, it'll launch when they launch new Super Mario Brothers Wii U 76 Special Edition.
Mamma mia, it's a $70.
$70. Well, that's another good point though. Actually, if they're coming into HD, Nintendo's game prices might go up.
Mm.
I mean, the Wii has been at $50 because it's not HD.
Yeah, they might bump up to 60.
And I saw a picture. Speaking of with the you can use the controller and their Wii remotes. I saw a picture where it seemed like they had four people playing on the Wii remotes, and then another person with the controller. So I can have pretty large groups playing.
I could see some fights. That's gonna start a lot of fun.
I want to use the tablet.
I call the tablet.
No,
damn it!
I just got the tablet last time.
Apparently, everyone who doesn't get the tablet is a very annoying, whiny person.
I want a tablet now!
The nerd mortality rate has reached an all-time high.
And last but not least, you can also use a tablet to go online, websites, and display you're on the TV and stuff. Games that were announced for it so far... it was Lego City Stories, which is a sandbox game, which sounds pretty awesome.
That is pretty cool.
It doesn't like Lego.
Because Lego games are pretty awesome, I like Lego Star Wars is pretty awesome. All the Lego games are pretty awesome.
Well, Lego Indiana Jones is alright.
It is okay.
Lego Fallout.
I've only really played Lego Star Wars, but yeah, it's pretty good.
Lego Star Wars is
Lego
awesome.
Batman.
Like, Grand Theft Auto. Legoverse.
Yeah, that's basically this is what it is. The same, you can probably build stuff, and I don't know.
I feel like it's not exactly like Grand Theft Auto, because I doubt in Lego City Stories you'd be able to fuck a prostitute and then kill her to get your money
back.
You'd
be surprised.
You would be surprised.
You would be surprised.
It's a brutal world in Legoville.
There's a new
it's a dog piece world.
And as a new Super Smash Bros. Game.
And that already increases the console's purchase rate by about 800%.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There's this new Super Mario Bros. Game, Super Mario Bros. Me, which you can put your Mii's on it. So I guess, maybe you could.
Isn't it weird? There was like 5 years between Super Smash Bros. Melee and Super Smash Bros. Brawl. And Brawl just came out last year. They've already announced
it. It wasn't last year. It was like three.
Did they say what this one's going to be called?
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, wow.
What's another word for fight?
What? Super Smash Brothers fight.
Super Smash Brothers punch.
Conflict.
They're going for the 40s market. Super Smash Brothers fisticuffs.
Or better yet, Super Smash Brothers kerfuffle. You guys want to play some kerfuffle?
I'm buying it already.
I want three copies.
I'll play kerfuffle.
There's also a new Pikmin title. Pikmin?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever played Pikmin in my life.
Neither have I.
I had it for GameCube.
I really haven't, but I just know it's like got good reviews, and it's nice to see the franchise coming back.
I think Miyamoto likes it.
I had it for GameCube. It was like you had Pikmin. You were this astronaut who crashed onto this planet, and you were supposed to fix your ship you had a certain amount of like days to do it. And then that days you had like these little aliens that you can control, and it's like, oh, you know, get this to fix my ship and stuff. And then there was like monsters to fight them, and you'd get the Pikmin to fight them.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
It's slavery the game.
You know, all the Pikmin had different powers, like blue ones could like go on water and
That's a hell of a power that can swim.
The Pikmin like to be enslaved, just like the Pokemon like to fight each other.
Yeah. Dog fighting the game. Everyone wins.
Can I play as Michael Fick?
Yep. I knew that was coming.
And then there's third-party titles, which are pretty awesome. There's Darksiders 2, Dirt, Aliens, Colonial Marines, Metro Last Light, Tekken, which they showed in the game that you could use a stylus to like draw on the Tekken characters. They gave him eyebrows and like swirlies on his cheeks.
I want this.
Nice.
And then people
are going to be drawing so many boobs on those characters.
Oh, don't forget all the penises.
Oh, tons of them.
How many people do you think are going to have penises from their chins?
90%.
Yeah, but you got to remember that
on the chin.
You got to remember that in a lot of these gamers are going to be nerdy guys who are going to be like, "Oh man, I've always wanted to see her tits."
Oh yeah.
You know. And then they're going to just draw them on.
There's also just going to be lots of penises.
Yeah.
There's always lots of penises.
and as the last game that was announced was Ninja Gaiden 3, which has a lot of blood, and that's kind of awesome for Nintendo titles. Ninja Gaiden has lots of blood.
Yeah. And that too represents a change because, you know, you don't really see much blood in Wii bowling.
I don't know how you're playing it.
Wasn't the original Ninja Gaiden in The Wizard?
Yeah.
Wasn't that what they played, like, right before they played Super Mario?
Yeah.
Ninja Power Gaiden! Glove.
So bad.
Power Glove. So bad. But, that's basically what I got so far from the Wii, what they have announced.
I mean, I don't know about you. I'm not... Some people were saying they were disappointed with it. I'm not disappointed with the announcement, but I think cautiously optimistic is the best way I'd describe it.
I mean, there's nothing to be disappointed about because everything they're saying sounds cool.
Yeah.
But to be fair, everything they said about the Wii also sounded cool.
Yeah.
But when they first got the Wii, it was pretty cool.
I don't really have a problem with the Wii, but my Wii is definitely collecting dust.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem definitely. With the Wii, as I don't think it's a bad system. I don't think it's worthless.
Just not much games.
It just doesn't have a lot.
It wasn't targeted at us.
Mm. Right. You know, yeah, I liked Donkey Kong
Country,
and, you know, I liked all the nostalgia games, and I liked the Virtual Console, but... Once you get that nostalgic high, you're like, all right, that's it. You know, then you play Twilight Princess, you're like, okay.
I mean, I have to say, though, I know I'm going to eventually be getting a Wii U because I'm going to want to play Zelda and Mario and Metroid.
I think that's what Nintendo counts on. And like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic, too. But, you know,
I had the same reaction as a Wii U as I have for the 3DS because I haven't played 3DS yet right now. You know, it's like everything sounds cool, but unless I have it in my hands, I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, It's definitely one of those things that's going to have to be seen.
Yeah, the controller will either be awesome or annoying.
See, I don't think it's going to be annoying, because at the worst case, it's just a big controller.
Right.
Yeah.
But
I was sure for reviewers that it's very, like, it's you know, big, but it's really natural. Like, you know, it doesn't.
Yeah. Like, so at the worst case, it's just going to be a really wide controller, and there's going to be, you know, I have a feeling a lot of third-party titles really aren't going to maybe in the beginning at least, really aren't going to capitalize on the touchscreen with all its potential. But you know Nintendo is.
Right.
Nintendo is going to knock it out of the park.
Nintendogs for the console.
Well,
just
think about, like, everything they've done with the DS. Like, you can, you know, you'll have your inventory, you know, let's say for Zelda, you'll have your inventory on the screen constantly. Right. And, you know, you won't have to pause, go, select your boomerang, equip it, and
that'll
then unpause.
Nice, and that'll be pretty cool.
Just tap, maybe flick, or just tap on your controller. Boop. Oh, look, boomerang, done.
Well, I mean, they'll definitely do things like that, but I think they're also going to do, like I said, things like Nintendogs, and they'll do pretty cool things with WarioWare, probably.
I'm looking forward to that.
What I was going to say was, I think the controller really, whether the controller's successful or not, depends on how they use it, because...
Right.
As you guys said, Nintendo is much better at using its own hardware than third-party stuff.
Yeah.
If you look at WarioWare for the Wii, that was an awesome use of the Wiimote motion sensor system.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then you can look at, like, Harry Potter Order of the Phoenix, where you have to wave the Wiimote around like an idiot to cast spells.
Or probably, I would argue, the worst use of the Wiimote ever was Ultimate Alliance.
Too.
That was terrible.
The first one, yeah.
Wait, what did it do with it? Oh, yeah, you just shook it to do different
attacks. It was like...
Shook it in different motions.
Right, and the motions weren't different enough, so you're like, oh, I'm dying, better heal myself, fireball.
Yeah.
And, you know, or any number of moves you... And I think everybody who has played Ultimate Alliance for the Wii has experienced doing the wrong move repeatedly.
Yeah.
Well, you see, at least what this console will solve, in my opinion, with it being HD and having a controller that could still do normal input, is that you won't have... Because the problem with third-party games on the Wii is that any Wii game that would come out, there would have to be a Wii-specific version. Mm-hmm. Like, the 360 and the PS3 version would be pretty much the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Wii version, not only because it had dumbed-down graphics, but the developers would try to incorporate the Wii remote somehow, and then you just got a whole bunch of waggle.
Right.
It's just like, shake to do this. And you know, it doesn't feel natural. Mm-hmm. At least with this, they could just port the games... You know, they'll try to do something with the screen... But you'll still be able to just play the game. They'll be able to port the games over to the Wii U.
Mm.
And, you know, like Darksiders 2. I have a feeling Darksiders 2 on the Wii U is going to play almost identically to how it would play on the 360 or the PS3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm looking forward to something they'll probably... Oh, well, no, if you only have one controller, never mind. I was about to say, like, Zelda Four Swords. Like, remember where you had your DS...
That was great.
You had your Game Boy connected, or Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah,
We put some jam sessions in with that, but if you could have one tablet, they probably wouldn't do that then.
I think it was a mistake that they didn't capitalize on that, because that was... I almost bought a Game Boy Advance specifically for that game.
Yeah, that was an awesome game.
Had more games like that come out, I would have, because that was a lot of fun to play with a group of people.
Yeah, I know, we were borrowing my sister's Game Boys
to
play. We have enough, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember I was very close to buying a Game Boy Advance, but I don't really play... portable systems ever, but specifically for that, so I think it was a big mistake for them to not capitalize on that.
Yeah.
Well,
I think we should go to Ryan.
I was about to say, speaking of portable systems,
the PlayStation Vita.
Segways.
Is coming up.
Those are scooters, not portable systems.
Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, it seems to me that the PlayStation Vita is Sony's attempt to rally its forces in response to losing a battle on two fronts, because in the arena of portable gaming, the PSP wasn't anywhere near as successful as the DS and the DSi.
My PSP is sitting on my shelf collecting dust.
I sold mine.
Right next to my DS, which is also collecting dust.
I looked at the statistic. I think it was something like the DS outsold the PSP by like 3 times over. And I think that's at least partially because most serious gamers either game on a console or on a PC. You know, and the people who are more casual go for Nintendo products, which is sort of the reputation that they've gotten. The other thing, too, was that the PSP found itself in competition with smartphones because PSP came out in Japan in 05 and here in 07. And then, you know, it's...
No, it was before 07.
Was it?
It's 2004.
Okay, so it was 04 in Japan, 05 here.
No, it was... It may have been 05 here. But yeah, I bought one my freshman year of college.
Yeah, I had one when I was working at Toys R Us, I remember.
I know it came out in Japan before.
I actually pre-ordered a PSP.
Why?
I don't remember.
All right, so anyway, it came out 04, 05.
Bad judgment.
And they were going for a multimedia experience, you know, because you can watch movies with the Sony memory stick. You can put music on it.
You can watch movies by buying them on UMD.
Yeah, UMD.
I never owned a PSP, so I don't really know.
Yeah, no, they would just sell the movies on UMD.
Mm-hmm. I thought you could buy them on memory stick, but
no. Eventually, you could like download things to your memory stick and try to play them.
Right. I remember seeing the commercials. As I said, never owned a PSP. Seeing the commercials, trying to sell it as like a multimedia experience. You know, you can play your games, and you can have music, and you can watch movies, and do a whole bunch of other things on the PSP. And then the iPhone happened, and you know, Google came out with Android, and it sort of, I guess, made it obsolete almost.
Because if you don't have an iPhone, you don't have an iPhone.
That's true.
I think the Vita is Sony's attempt to outperform the 3DS.
Oh, yeah.
By bringing some of the processing power of console gaming to the portable world and to try to match the versatility of the current generation of smartphones. Mm-hmm. The versatility and the power. If I had to choose a word to describe the Vita, it would probably be beast, and I mean that in a couple of different ways. First off, if you look at the hardware specs of the Vita, it reads like a smartphone on steroids. It's got a quad-core processor, 5-inch multi-touch HD display, 6-axis motion sensing system, an accelerometer, SD card slot for expandable storage, and 2 built-in cameras, one in the front, one in the back. It's Wi-Fi and Bluetooth capable. They're even offering a model with 3G coverage through AT&T, which I understand got booed.
Yes, it did.
When they announced it. Because that's just what everyone needs, is another data plan from AT&T.
I love it.
Is the Vita sentient?
I don't know, but if it is, it's programmed to take your money.
That'll be the next model.
Another one of the reasons that I call it a beast is because it's huge. 5-inch touchscreen means it's got to be bigger than that. It's 7 inches long, which is, you know, pretty.
Just how she likes it.
Uh huh.
I get it.
I don't know. I don't really have any pockets that are 7 inches deep.
I don't really measure my pockets.
You don't measure your pockets?
No, I don't know about...
I haven't exactly gone and stuck a ruler in my pocket either. But I know that they're not 7 inches deep.
I have stuck my dick in my pocket and...
Is that a rule in your pocket? I just happen to see me.
No, it's a ruler.
Both. Measuring my pockets.
Want to see if I can fit a PSV in.
I kind of want to go home and measure my pockets now.
Getting back to the point, you know, you can stick your smartphone in a pocket, you can stick your 3DS in one of your pockets.
Well, the 3DS kind of barely, it's
a bit big.
Until they come up with a 3DS Slim.
Mm-hmm. I have a DS Lite, because I'm a couple of generations behind.
I have a DS Lite too, don't worry.
But, I mean, that's easy, you stick it in your pocket and you go, but I feel like
then
this is going
to
be...
pushed to the pool and ruin your system.
Yeah, the Vita's not going to fit in your pocket or in your bag as well as an iPhone or a 3DS might. The other reason I call it a beast is because they went pimp my ride on all of the different gaming inputs. On Pimp My Ride, they add screens to things. Yeah. And Sony...
Each button has a screen! Yeah. The screen has a screen!
Yo, dog, we heard you like screens, so we put some screens in your screen so you can screen while you screen.
I love screens!
I think Sony had that idea with different gaming inputs, because the final rundown is, let's see, it's got just about every type of gaming input known to modern gaming. It's got a D-pad, two thumbsticks, two multi-touch pads, because not only is the HD screen on the front a multi-touch pad, but there's also one on the back,
yeah, mm-hmm,
so that you can use the screen without obscuring it.
That's pretty cool.
12 buttons, which, granted, is a little bit of an exaggeration because it includes like the volume switch and the on-off button, but still, that's
those
a lot.
Those are buttons.
Yeah. The accelerometer and the gyroscope, so you can do the motion control gaming. The two cameras and a built-in microphone. One of the big things that they said that they were trying to get out of the Vita was augmented reality, which is something that the 3DS does pretty well. Mm-hmm. Like that, I forget what it's called, but that game.
Face
that
Raiders.
Has,
Face Raiders. Yeah.
With the flying heads.
Mm-hmm. There's also, you know, smartphone apps that do that too.
Right. Yeah.
That's what the cameras are for.
Shut up, the 3DS does it.
You guys know that Vita means life?
Yes.
So it is sentient.
That's uh-huh. what I learned during the conference.
Vita means life. It's alive. And it will kill you.
Yeah, it goes into your pocket and latches onto your wallet.
Mm-hmm. And it will suck it dry.
Why would you want to put me into your pocket, Alex?
I just want
to... You should want to play me.
Okay.
Always.
The Vita and the Kinect are the technological tag team of murder.
I have connected myself to your heart.
Oh,
if
God.
You stop playing me and turn me off, your heart will stop.
Uh-huh. This is like and speed.
I was going to say, for the 2012 holiday season, Sony's planning to release a kit that will allow you to graft the Vita into yourself.
Life is a game.
Anyway, the Vita is going to launch for the 2011 holiday season with an estimated retail price of around $250 for the Wi-Fi only model. If you want to buy the data plan from AT&T and pay them money every month so that you can go on the internet, you're going to have to pay an extra $50 to Sony at purchase.
How much was the 3DS when it came out?
$250.
It's actually really, you know, comparably priced the 3DS.
Mm.
Unless you want to pay the extra $50 for the, you know, network model that you can get the data plan through.
And you know people will.
Uh-huh. Even though AT&T has horrible coverage most places. Anyway, the launch titles all seemed pretty generic except for Little Big Planet. They had a racing game, a couple of sports games. Nothing that I found too interesting.
I liked Uncharted. That was kind of cool. They showed a title for Uncharted, and then they showed, what was that game? Some racing card game.
Wipeout?
No. Ridge Racer. Mm. Ridge Racer was both pretty cool. And it analyzed the back screen, like, you can, like, because in Ridge Racer you make your own, like, you know, tracks, and, you know, right. You tap on the back to make mountains come up, and then you can go on the front screen to tap and make, like, lakes and stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, Ridge Racer looked kind of cool.
But they seem to be aiming for a pretty good spread of genres to launch the system with. You know, they've got sports games, fighting games, racing games, platformers like Little Big Planet, and they're also coming out with some recycled titles and new games from familiar franchises. Like they're making a BioShock game. They're going to make a Dynasty Warriors game.
Yeah, Dynasty Warriors.
Call of Duty. Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, and Silent Hill. And those will come out eventually.
I think us, the three of us in the room are the only people that are excited for the Dynasty Warriors.
Not me.
Including the people listening.
You want to murder half of ancient China.
Who doesn't?
Again.
But anyway, my thoughts on the Vita are probably not too positive. Not as positive, I guess. I'm more of a casual gamer. As I said, I'm a couple of generations behind on the portable system. I have a DS Lite, and it doesn't really strike me as something that I would want to buy personally.
I think it's something that people are going to orgasm over, though.
Probably, yeah.
It's not, I mean, it's not something that...
Once Jessica Chobot licks it, people will be all over it.
I was impressed by it. I mean, I'm not the biggest...
I mean, it sounds good, but I've been realizing that I do more... I own a DS, I own a PSP, and I don't play with either of them. I think I have, like, 3 games for each.
Yeah, since I finished Pokemon Black, I've really barely touched either my DS or my 3DS.
Like,
I think one of the sad things is there's going to be a lot of people who buy it and don't use it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sony's
well,
okay
that's what happens. Yeah,
I think.
Did we plug our first episode? Listen to our first episode. We'll talk about this. Yeah.
But I definitely think that there are going to be people who buy it and don't use it. I won't buy it. I like Ryan. I'm relatively unaffected by this announcement because I'm not really a Sony person to begin with, and secondly, I don't play. Portable systems usually.
Yeah.
So
that's what I've come to realize. Right. Like, if I'm on the go, I generally don't have time to play a video game. You know?
That's the thing. Like, maybe for a long airplane ride or a long car trip, you'd like to have a game or something.
But how often does that come up?
I mean, I look at what I use my DS Lite for, and mostly it's playing Sudoku on Brain Age. I had fun with Scribblenauts, but that was about it. Those are the only two things that I can think of.
Yeah.
Saying we're going to release a BioShock title for this portable system doesn't really throw me, because when I played BioShock, I played it on a 50-inch television with the lights off at 3 a.m, with surround sound, and it was awesome. It was creepy, it was immersive, the graphics were great, and parts of it were terrifying. And I just can't see a Big Daddy being half as scary, scaled down to be to fit on a 5-inch screen.
Jeez, Ed, if you didn't feel bad about not having an HDTV before.
And also, with portable games, I don't like, if I want to play a shooter, I want to, have a controller in my hand. Yeah. I don't want to play a shooter... With a mini little,
I think the problem. I mean, it's not a problem, but for myself personally, for portable games, I'm shifting more towards my smartphone.
Yeah, me too.
Because if I'm on the go, like I'll admit, while I'm on the toilet, I play a lot of video games. But
that
explains
it.
Yeah.
But it's quick. You can play. It doesn't take long to play a game of solitaire or some Angry Birds or Doodle God.
Remind me not to touch Alex's phone ever.
I don't wipe my ass.
Unless they make the app. Toilet paper app.
Yeah, once they make a toilet paper app.
Then totally.
But, I think given not even much longer, probably the iPhone 4, the iPhone 4 is already out. The iPhone 5 or, the next generation of Android smartphones, the processors are going to be a lot better. They're going to be able to play a lot more games, and the games are a lot cheaper too.
Right.
I mean, like the most expensive I have an Android phone, and the most expensive game I could think of is maybe like $6.
Well, and that's pretty much Sony's major angle for this thing, is it's a gaming platform.
Right.
Whereas a smartphone, it doesn't have 15 fucking interfaces.
Yeah.
It's not designed for to play these games specifically, but I think eventually. Portable systems are just not going to be as viable. I mean,
or more likely, what I think is going to happen is I feel like the portable system market is going to be taken over by phones.
By phones.
Well, the Sony itself is releasing.
And we're gonna have something like the PlayStation Vita that is also a phone.
That's they already have. I mean,
the
N-Gage. Sony.
Don't
Sony.
The N-Gage.
No, I said there's going to be something like the Vita.
Sony is releasing a phone that's a PS1 emulator, pretty much. It's an Android smartphone, but the screen slides up, and then there's a keypad. Has a D-pad, the Sony stick. Face buttons. It has, a sensor. It's not, an actual stick, but it has, one of those circular touch sensors.
Right.
And it has a special section of the Android store where you could buy emulated PS1 games, and it has the power to run that. That I would consider buying.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
because it's still a phone. I can still do phone things with it.
Well, the other principal drawback that I see to this is it's something else that you have to carry around with you if you want it. Whereas, you know, I've got my phone, as you said, I could play solitaire, I could play Angry Birds, I could do a Sudoku puzzle, I could surf the internet, I could listen to my music, stream videos, whatever the hell I want. You know, like, back when I first started college, you know, you'd have to load down your pockets with your cell phone and your Game Boy Advance and your brick-size MP3 player and carry all that shit around with you. But, you know, those days are long over.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely definitely a sexy piece of hardware, though.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Well, I think that's what Sony's banking on, that. Honestly, you can't play these games on a smartphone yet.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't have a... I mean, these are gorgeous-looking games. These are, like, almost PS3-looking games.
And as much as we all say, we don't want one, if you held one in your hand...
Oh, no, I want one. I'm just not going to buy it because I'm not going to use it.
We're not going to buy... But if we held it in our hand, we'd get a boner. You know, it's...
Probably.
If someone offered me one, I'd take it.
Exactly. It's a sexy piece of hardware that nerds are going to, you know... orgasm over. Like I said, it's a big announcement. You know, it may seem lackluster to us because, you know, we don't have disposable income and we'd rather buy something like the Wii U. We'd rather buy something, you know.
Yeah. But also, Sony has the most ravenous fanboys out of all three of the companies. It's a little ridiculous.
So they're going to hate all of us not buying.
Yeah, we're going to get hate mail.
I'm going to buy it then, son. You all like
me. Well, if we get hate mail, it means people are listening.
That's true. Nice. Yeah, send us hate mail.
Send us hate mail.
Info at ragnarok.com. Send us
And when you send us your hate mail, check out our first episode.
Which doesn't bash Sony.
No, not even one bit.
Nope. Well, I mean, like, I'm not bashing Sony. I just think that they're trying to open up a market that's going away.
You know, I don't think it's going away. I think it's shifting.
It's shifting. Yeah, it's definitely shifting.
I don't think portable gaming is going to go away.
Well,
I think it's actually going to get bigger, but in a different way, like smartphones. Portable gaming is going.
I guess that was poorly phrased, but you're right. It's
so are you telling me that Motorola is going to be at the next E3?
Verizon.
No, but I mean, I think it's going to be a lot smaller companies. Like, people love to hate on Rovio for Angry Birds. But it's fun,
it really is.
You know what? It's easy. Everyone can play it, and they've sold. I'm sure Rovio is making more money off Angry Birds than Sony is going to make off of any title they launch for the Vita.
Yeah, definitely.
And if that's where the money's going, that's where the companies are going to follow.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Sony is work. Sony makes its own phones.
The new BioShock, exclusive to T-Mobile's customers.
Well, it'll be per platform, but like, because I mean, but like I said, Sony's making that phone. Sony has the capability to do it, but Nintendo would have to partner with someone to make a gaming capable phone. It would have to have the processor, the horsepower to do it.
Oh, there could be an Ultimate Alliance where like you get Colossus if you're an AT&T customer and Magneto if you're a Verizon customer.
Yeah. Damn, being on this Marvel Alliance today, aren't you?
I don't know.
We're sticking on that.
I think we talked about it last time too, and I brought it up.
I don't know.
Let's make this a theme. Every episode we fit Ultimate Alliance.
Okay. Why? No one cares about it anymore.
I don't care.
People barely cared about it when Ultimate Alliance 2 came out.
The first one was fantastic. The second one was terrible. But
why are we still talking about Ultimate Alliance?
I don't know. Let's talk some more about Oblivion.
Yeah, well, why don't we take a little break? And then we'll come back and we'll talk more about E3.
Did we mention the first podcast?
Oh, yeah.
First podcast.
You should definitely download and listen to our first podcast.
Yeah, I don't think we have.
It's on this website, a little bit below this one.
look, do you see it?
Scroll down a little further. That's it. Nope, back up. There you go.
Okay.
Just look at porn.
you got to click off the porn. Why would you listen to us while you look at porn? That's pretty weird.
Yeah, that is pretty weird.
Now you're going to associate your erection with Eric's voice.
I'm getting skeeved out. Okay, now I'm legitimately.
Oh,
all right.
That's wrong.
Ryan, stop the recording.
Please. Right. Most of this is going to get cut anyway.
We'll be back after the break to complain about the Xbox Kinect and franchise milking.
I won't complain. Soon. Oh, God, Eric, stop it.
We are back. Ragnarok is back. This is the second episode. We'll remind you again because...
And we had a first episode, which you should download.
You should definitely download that.
Check out our first episode. Before.
Have we mentioned that?
Yeah, we have a first episode.
Oh. Yeah, so our next topic is the Microsoft Kinect. This is obviously not a new piece of technology, but, you know, it was kind of obvious that the Microsoft's concentrating a lot on the Kinect with their E3 performance this year. There is a lot, you know, it's just so much focus on the Kinect, which makes me happy because, I mean, I bought one first day, and it makes me happy to see it supported.
Well, I think that Microsoft focused on it so much because they're afraid if they don't, the Kinect will kill them with its laser vision.
There's one in the room right now. We love it.
Oh, yes, it's the most
I love you, Kinect.
Yep.
I it's love watching you us. Too. That was just me, guys. Don't worry. It's not actually talking.
Oh, good. I'm scared.
Thank
God. They haven't you know, put out that patch yet.
Well, so many of so Microsoft's games in their presentation this year were Kinect-based. Mm-hmm. Like, I took down a list that wasn't even a complete list of what it was just like, it's a smattering. I love that word.
Smattering.
of titles. Like, for example, there's the first six titles, they're big six, they were going as far as calling the Kinect core titles. They're the six that they figured would get the most impact.
Mass Effect 3. Sinister Six?
Yes. They call it that, sure.
Okay.
Mass Effect 3, which is not Kinect only.
Right. It's partially Kinect. Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Fable The Journey. Rise. Blackwater Kinect FPX. I'm not sure if that was the correct title. I know Blackwater, at least. I should stop clicking this pen. Microsoft. The microphone probably hates that.
So do the listeners.
And Binary Domain.
What, do you know how many of these are Kinect only and which ones aren't?
I'm pretty sure Blackwater, Binary Domain, and Rise are almost entirely Kinect. I know Fable is entirely.
I remember the Rise trailer made me sad because there was a dog in trouble. I was like, oh, poor dog. He just lives in a terrible time.
And obviously Mass Effect isn't entirely...
You can play that if you don't have a Kinect.
Right. Ghost Recon, I'm pretty sure you can play without the Kinect.
Yeah.
Thank God. Because no, if I needed a Kinect to play Mass Effect 3, I would probably buy a Kinect.
Yeah, me too.
The shooting in Ghost Recon was so weird because you had to stick out one of your arms, you know, say where the pretend that there's a scope, right?
Right.
And then the other one, then you use your other hand as your hand going... you shoot it boom, 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 boom. That's how you shoot. It's boom, 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 boom.
That's
boom.
Not going to hurt.
I have this theory that Microsoft is just using the Kinect to collect blackmail material on everyone.
Well, you've played Kinect Sports. It takes pictures of you while you're doing ridiculous things.
And Kinect Adventures.
I just, you know, if I'm trying to run for political office or something, I'm just going to get a folder with, me standing in my basement doing a victory dance.
Well, you know, Ryan, just make sure you don't play Kinect transvestites.
They're probably waiting for Eric Schmidt to buy a Kinect and play it naked so they can blackmail him into selling Google to Microsoft.
Do you think Anthony Weiner plays Kinect?
Ryan's Kinect does have my butt picture.
All right, so besides the Core 6, they had a ton of other games. Notable titles included Minecraft Kinect, Kinect Fun Labs, which was actually just recently released already.
Mm-hmm.
Disneyland Adventures. Sesame Street Once Upon a Monster. I'm sure we're all going to get those last couple titles. Mm-hmm.
Sesame Street, that is a day one purchase.
Oh, absolutely. I have it reserved already, actually.
I have it reserved in 5 different places so I can get all the, you know, pre-order content.
You are intense.
I've got the special Big Bird costume.
Oh,
Oscar's... garbage can with the racing stripes.
Yeah, I've heard that the Kinect doesn't register you unless you play with the Big Bird costume.
No, yeah, you have to play while wearing it.
The Disneyland title was so sad because it's like, you know, people who would buy it would probably be kids who didn't go to Disneyland, and that's kind of sad. And then people who would buy it who do go to Disneyland a lot, it's like, why would you want to buy the game?
Well, there's also the Disney freaks who will buy anything that has Mickey's face on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't go to Disney World, so I'm going to buy this game and pretend I am.
Well, it would be a lot cheaper to buy a $60 Kinect game than to go to Disney World.
Yeah, definitely.
My favorite part of that game is the two-hour stand on the line.
And with the Kinect, you actually feel like you're doing it yourself.
I don't think you can even spend one day at one park for $60.
Yeah. Maybe if you're a senior citizen who's handicapped and you have a child, and you're maybe if you're some sort of child senior citizen amalgamation,
plus
you'd be and a veteran,
I just jokingly made a good point that you know you don't have to stand on lines for 2 hours,
right?
You have to connect.
That's the best part.
They should let you play the Disneyland Adventures game at Disneyland. Like Inception.
Mind blown.
This is the second time I use Inception in this episode.
All right, keep going.
All right, so on to the less interesting games than Sesame Street, Milo, Once Upon a Monster.
Wow.
We have Kinect Sports Season 2, Dance Central 2. That's one I'm definitely looking forward to.
Seriously?
Yeah, absolutely. Dance Central 1 was great.
Yeah, I enjoyed Dance Central 1.
Eric
as well.
Is a dancer.
Absolutely. You should see me do Soulja Boy.
Eric's got a dancer's body.
Yeah.
Which none of you know because this is an audio podcast.
Ed was being sarcastic.
There's Kinect Star Wars, Fruit Ninja Kinect.
What? Fruit Ninja?
You cut fruit.
It's like the game on, I believe, smartphones have the game where you.
Yep.
Kinect Star Wars, where you teach you to turn a lightsaber on by screaming, lightsaber on.
That's how Jedis do it, right?
Yeah.
You never saw Obi-Wan go, lightsaber on!
I usually try to cut it out of the movie.
Yeah.
We've got Hole in the Wall, for anyone who's seen that wonderful show.
The Japanese, I like the Japanese.
Child of Eden, which is actually already out now, and I wholeheartedly endorse it, but that's, you know, not getting into review right now, but it's excellent. Rise of Nightmares, survival horror, which kind of surprised
me.
To see a survival horror coming out for the Kinect, I thought that was pretty cool.
Sesame Street survival horror.
Mm-hmm. Oh, true. I forgot about that.
Once upon a monster.
Oh, God.
That does sound like a survival horror.
It does. Yeah.
Once upon a monster. Sesame Street.
I'm already scared. There's everyone's favorite franchise, Just Dance 3. I'm sure we're already all planning on.
Wait, I like how you're like, oh man, Dance Central's awesome. Just Dance.
But I only like one brand of dancing games.
We're very picky about our dancing
games. Eric's dance is central to Eric's life, but he does not want to just dance.
No.
Right.
I hate you so much. And then there's Madden NFL Connect, which was bound to happen already. And as a wrestling fan, I'd be remiss if I did not mention Hulk Hogan's main event.
So with Madden, do you have to like sit down and comment on the game as it plays?
You see, now here's a real great move here.
You draw the little circles and
that's the Wii U version.
You get extra points for the more redundancies you have in your announcing. In football, you got a ball you hit with your foot.
Brett Favre.
They have a special Dennis Miller achievement if you use huge vocabulary words.
Yeah, so that's just a couple of the titles, and they're just going wild with releasing Kinect titles. I said, I'm very happy with that, because when I got my Kinect, I got a couple games with it. I got Kinect Adventures, I picked up Kinect Sports, and I was just like, you know, these are good games, but I'm not feeling it right now. I'm not feeling the wide variety of games, and now they're just slamming these on us. They're just, like, cavalcading these Kinect titles out,
On the other hand, it does kind of feel like Wii shovelware, almost. Like, these aren't really... Some of them are, but they're not really, like, quality games designed to really take advantage of what the Kinect can do.
Well, I mean,
It's like Hole in the Wall. Make the shape with your body.
That's right.
I think the problem is that, yeah, these could all be fun, these could all be great, whatever. And I'm sure there's a huge market for it, and I'll probably play a few of these if Eric gets them. But
or Ryan, he has one too.
I have one.
But the fact that this is all they're focusing on, I think, is the major problem. As opposed to saying, here's some great non-Kinect games.
Well, I think the problem with that is Nintendo and Sony have some great. Well, Sony doesn't really have first-party titles, but they have second-party titles. Like Microsoft has Halo.
Gears,
right?
Fable. I mean, they have, but their first party games, or really second party for Microsoft's case, really aren't like as strong as Nintendo's.
Mm-hmm.
Like whenever E3 comes around, for Nintendo, the thing is, like this year going into is like, what are they going to tell us about the new Zelda?
Right.
Are they going to reveal a new Mario? Or a new Metroid? They Nintendo has a lot of AAA. Great titles that they can always fall back on.
Right.
Microsoft doesn't really have that.
No, you're right.
I mean, they have Halo, and people will punch a baby in the face for a new Halo game.
Yeah, well, no, I did yesterday. No, by the way, I have a warrant out.
You probably shouldn't have said that.
Oh, yeah, we're recording Eric's
address.
But, I mean, on the other hand, as a Zune owner, you know, Microsoft tends to drop their hardware after a while. Like, they don't really support it. You know, once my Zune goes, I'm going to have to get an iPod. I don't really want an iPod, but, you know, it's good to see that they're supporting the Kinect for now, at least.
Join us, Alex.
I don't see a problem with them supporting the Kinect. I just wish that they supported, you know, the non-Kinect.
Well, they are. I mean, there's, you know, Mass Effect 3 is coming, and it's mainly a non-Kinect title before it has any Kinect. I mean, the Kinect usage is sort of secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Bioshock Infinite, that's non-Kinect. Most of the games that people were talking about coming out of it, I mean, really, no one's talking about Hole in the Wall.
No.
I am.
Like,
I was talking about Star Wars, because I was excited about it, and then I saw it and said, can I let you see Ron? I was like, oh, forget it.
Yeah. Hole in the Wall is notable, oddly enough, in a little bit, because of the fact that it's an Xbox Live Arcade game. And I like the fact that they're actually supporting the Kinect with Xbox Live Arcade games rather than just with retail games. Like, Hole in the Wall and Fruit Ninja Kinect are both live arcade games that are going to be released.
I was going to say, I would not pay full price for Fruit Ninja.
Yeah. I haven't even bought it on my phone.
Vegetable Ninja.
But, I mean, like, I agree with what Ed said, though. Like, if I didn't have a Kinect and I was just sitting watching Microsoft's presentation, I'm like, oh, look at all those games I can't ever play.
Well,
unless I spend $150.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is, though, I don't own a Kinect, and that's not going to make me want to buy one.
No, none of these are exciting enough to make me want to buy a Kinect. We'll get to this later, but Fable might have been enough to get me to buy a Kinect if it didn't look like crap. But, you know, I think that there, I don't know if the Kinect is ready yet. Like, motion sensor gameplay, I don't think is good enough yet for us to throw all of our eggs into that basket.
I mean, Kinect does it differently than the Move and the Wii does.
No, but it does it differently, but I still don't think
it's... I mean, you have to start somewhere, like... If they didn't have it, then I feel like you'd be saying the same thing 2 years from now. If they release it 5 years from now, people would be saying the same thing, because until the technology exists, people can't develop games for it.
Right, but what I'm saying is that they're putting all of their eggs into the Kinect basket rather than just some of their, like, you can develop this technology without throwing all your eggs into it.
Well, they still have Gears 3, they have Mass Effect 3 mostly.
Yeah.
They have non-Kinect games. But yeah, like I said, I mean, if Mass Effect 3 was totally Kinect, like if I needed a Kinect to play Mass Effect 3, first off, I'd wonder how the hell they're going to do that, because it would probably suck.
Right.
And I would buy a Kinect, because there's no way I'm not getting Mass Effect 3.
Exactly,
because that's a big title that one could rely on to sell the unit.
I'm glad they didn't.
Definitely.
Because I just don't see how that would work.
But that's what I mean by motion sensing technology isn't there yet. If we could play Mass Effect 3 with just a Kinect-style system, that would be amazing. If you could just, like, have a motion-capture Mass Effect game, that would be awesome. Or a motion-capture Star Wars game would be awesome. But it's not there yet.
Yeah.
And
but you still need a controller.
If Mass Effect
Mass Effect is sort of bridging that gap. The things that you can do with the Kinect, you do with the Kinect. And the things that you can do with the controller, you do with the controller. Like, you can call out orders to your squad mates, you can read the dialogue options, which helps you engage a little bit more, because then, instead of just, you know, picking a thing and hitting a button, you're actually, as weird as it sounds, you're kind of actually having a conversation with the person on the screen.
Why are you going to do voices when you talk to your Mass Effect 3?
Something that's probably occurred to the people in this room, it also allows you to be assholes to your friends.
Yes, sir.
It's true. Like, if I'm sitting there watching Meyer play Mass Effect 3, and he's trying to play Paragon, I can, like, shout out the Renegade answer.
Yeah.
If Mass Effect 3 was totally motion, you know, capture, I would have simulated sex for real with some hot aliens.
Like Miranda? She's not an alien.
It's like I said.
No,
but I would do
Liara. I'm a Liara man.
Oh, I'm a Miranda man, 100%.
I'm a Garrus man.
Well then. You can be
screw you, Ashley. You told me you wish I'd stayed dead on that planet.
Eventually, there's going to be a message that says, you know, you can't have sex with this hot alien female unless you take off your clothes. And then the Kinect will take a picture of you.
And then you're standing naked and your family's like, why are you naked?
I'd do it.
Sorry, Grandma.
They'll send it back to Microsoft and, you know, 30 years from now when you run for Congress, you'll get a little envelope.
Everybody in this room, by the way, you're listening to a bunch of aspiring politicians doing a podcast about video games. We're all in the Young Republicans Club, and we're trying to.
I'm a libertarian.
Oh, sorry.
I'm Green Party.
Jesus.
I'm Eric.
One thing I would have to say is during the presentation of Microsoft for the Kinect, like I own the Kinect, and it just every person who they showed demoing the Kinect, like, you know, the people moving, like, you know, using the Kinect, it just bothered me from the stupid douches to the stupid little kids. It just was like, I don't want to see this. This is annoying me. End this. I'm gonna kill you.
Fancy the one that's better with the Kinect as the Kinectimals one. That one with the little kid just going, yeah, waving her hands.
Like I don't want to see a little kid going, fist bump. Oh yeah, I'm cool. I'm playing the Disney game.
See, that was one of the things I mentioned that like I am like a little bit of too much, you know, child oriented. Yeah. But I mean, obviously, you're gonna have that. They're not gonna be like, nah, screw the kids. Just well, give us some more Halos.
I think Microsoft is trying to emulate the Wii now.
Right.
They're using the Kinect to appeal to casual gamers. Because what's even less threatening than something that looks like a television remote? No remote at all.
Right.
You don't need anything. Just stand there. It's
all
even easier.
Is you. You already have a you.
Plus, you don't need a wrist strap.
Exactly. Yeah. My hand came off. I'm suing Microsoft.
Somebody just throws themselves into their television.
Okay,
your controller's messed up.
From now on, all Kinects come with a bungee system that you have to bolt into the floor so that you can't go flying towards your TV.
See, but at the same time, though, while they are being a little more casual, they still seem like they're trying to connect to... Oh, God.
Yeah.
But it hit me.
Oh,
that was unintentional. They seem like they're trying to work with their older audience by releasing more different types of games. Like I said before, a survival horror game coming out for the Kinect. Blackwater and Binary Domain are both FPSs. Child of Eden is a rail shooter. They got sports games. They got all these different types of things. And I think it's brave that they're trying so many different types of things with it. And I think it's good for their audience.
Well, mostly. I mean, in all fairness, Pokemon Snap is technically a first-person shooter.
That's true.
Pokemon Snap is technically the greatest game of all time.
That is definitely an FPS on rails.
Yes. Literally.
I miss Pokemon Snap.
Speaking of the Pokemon franchise, Ed?
I think that goes well into what I have to talk about, which is franchise milking.
That's what I just did.
Yeah.
But thank you much for more explaining that. It was so smoothly done.
We had nice
until Ed shat upon it.
It was nice.
You ruined it.
I am very, very suave.
You're the James Bond of this
podcast. Like, oh, this thing happened!
We saw a lot of franchise milking at E3 this year. You know, most notably, I think, we see in what they're calling a new Fable.
Purportedly.
Supposedly a new Fable. We saw a new Final Fantasy. This is 13-2. We see two new Halo titles coming out. And this is also was the year of threes. We have a lot of Mass Effect 3, Gears of War 3, Resistance 3, Battlefield 3, Uncharted 3, Just Dance 3.
Just Dance 3.
So yeah, a lot of threes are coming out. Some of them look exciting, some of them don't. Some of them really seem like they're beating a dead horse. You know, I really have to talk about Fable because, oh man, I am so mad about this. I mean, it has. I've been a big fan of Halo of Fable from the beginning. I love the first three games, you know, a lot. They're probably in my top 10, or at least the trilogy is in my top 10. But you know, this fourth game, it seems so much like a Kinect title that they just tacked the Fable franchise onto. They just tacked the title on and threw in some elements. It's like, it reminds me of when they made the Super Mario Brothers movie, which was a sci-fi movie that they just tacked Super Mario Brothers elements onto, and they found this like dead in the water sci-fi movie and tacked the title and elements of Super Mario Brothers onto it and sold it as a movie. And that's what this is. This is some first-person shooter fantasy game that they threw in Fable elements. You know, it has no connection to the hero. It has no connection to the storyline.
They just repackaged it.
Yeah.
I think the story is that it's no more heroes anymore.
Right. Basically, it is no more heroes. It does take place in Albion. And Teresa, the blind seeress, makes an appearance. But it's not even by the same team. Lionhead is still the company making this game, but it's not by the Fable team that had been working on it since the beginning. It's super reliant on the... It's Kinect only, so it's super reliant on the Kinect. It's also FPS style, which is weird, because there's never been a FPS Fable before. And the FPS is... It looks visually annoying. The whole first-person shooter vantage point takes you way out of the Fable universe. You spend most of your time behind a horse, looking at your horse's butt, in a caravan.
I like horses' butts.
Morality, which was a big part in the first three games, is involved, but not as much. From what I could see in the demo... You only use magic. There's no swords or anything. Ranged weapons. You just use magic. You play a mage, which is another thing that doesn't seem like Fable at all. The whole point of Fable was, you know, you got the you have the three powers: the magic, you know, skill. Strength and skill.
I thought I saw him strike once in the demo.
Maybe I don't know. I can't speak to that. I can't say that that's for sure. That's what it seemed like to me. But it seems like magic is pretty much your main focus anyway. They made that decision for you. They took this perfect trilogy, which didn't seem to need a follow-up. Not to say that it did end, but it felt like an ending to me. You know,
It was a very satisfying trilogy.
And it didn't really need a follow-up. I would have been okay with them not making another one.
So it was like Indiana Jones 4 or Die Hard 4.
Right.
But they had the black smoke monster in this one, it seems.
I will say, the cinematics do look beautiful. The cinematics do look very fable-y. They do have that very fantasy storybook look to it. You know, very action-packed. You have this opening where Teresa's being chased by this... blackness. It could be the blackness. It's actually John Locke.
Yeah, it's Terry O'Quinn.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was the other
guy. He's getting typecasted.
She's being chased by some black smoke. Spoilers, which may or may not be the blackness that you fought in Fable 3. They haven't said that yet. But it looks really cool, you know, and it has that same beautiful, you know, Albion looks... just like a paradise, you know. Looks like a storybook, like a.
It's a paradise with horrible smoke monsters.
Anyway,
that's my idea of paradise.
But
it's raising a smoky
like the island from Lost. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to pass judgment on it completely because Peter Molyneux said he was the one who did the demonstration. He said that the demo was a horrible mistake. And that the game is not on rails. The demo was on rails, but he promises the game is not on rails, and a bunch of reporters even signed an affidavit saying that it wasn't on rails. But for the demo, he stripped the navigation out to make it more concise. So maybe they'll surprise us, but this goes back to what Eric was saying. You know, I think this is just an excuse to make somebody who loves Fable buy a Kinect. But that being said, they are not making Gears of War for the Kinect, which is awesome. I'm very happy about that.
That's a definite plus.
So they are not making Gears fans buy Kinects.
That would be hilarious. Yeah. If you want cover to hide behind, you have to have actual drag furniture in front of the
You
Kinect.
Flip up a table.
You need your actual chainsaw to check.
You have to create an actual Lancer that has a chainsaw bayonet.
Then another title that was released, another franchise that I've loved for a long time, is the Final Fantasy XIII 2. Which, in contrast to Fable, Final Fantasy XIII 2 looks like almost the exact game, same game as Final Fantasy XIII, just with a different story. That's just, you know, it looks really nice, it's cinematically stunning, it's an action-packed game, but the gameplay is only alright. You know, wasn't a big fan of Final Fantasy XIII gameplay, but
I loved it.
Yeah, you know, Alex loved it. There were people who loved it. I didn't love the story, I didn't love the linear journey that you have in the game. I honestly feel like Final Fantasy has been milking the franchise since 10. I feel like I feel like the franchise has died.
I sure wish there was a Final Fantasy 11 that would be nice.
But I feel
For those of you listening, Eric does know that Final Fantasy 11 exists.
What?
He just chooses not to acknowledge it.
These words you're saying don't make any sense.
Kind of like the, you know, Sliders after season 2 and Heroes after season 1.
Heroes didn't have more than one season.
I like how they had a second season.
Oh, no, yeah, they had the second season.
They had a second season.
I like how you think how fans are so stupid. Wait, so he's talking about Fantasy League 13, but there was no 11? What happened there?
I don't think the people listening are stupid. I think they might think Eric is stupid.
Well, Eric is stupid.
Well, yeah.
A little.
But, really. I mean, the game goes, I mean, they're not offering... I'm not saying that they're offering anything bad. Final Fantasy 13 seems like it's a good game. 13-2, rather, seems like it's a good game unto itself. But, you know, Parker Sapp from Square Enix, you know, basically, when pressed about questions that people had about Final Fantasy 13, like, are there going to be towns? He gave kind of vague answers, like, I don't want to call it a town. It's not going to be the same format you expect. You're not going to get a shop yet. And then when he was asked about side quests, he said, we're not showing a lot about that yet. So, you know, it seems like it's going in the same direction that Final Fantasy has been going in. It's still got Moogles, Gills, Chocobos, but the gameplay is just really different from anything else Final Fantasy.
13 didn't really have Moogles.
It had a couple. It had some Moogles.
I thought they were like dolls.
I don't even remember. I didn't finish the game, but...
the girl's so beautiful.
It's got some exciting things coming. You can get creatures to join your party. There'll be cinematic actions and this interesting new compass system that determines battle advantage. It uses, like, colors and... it's kind of like probably the hacking system from Bioshock 2, I imagine. Mm-hmm. So I don't doubt it'll be a good game. I'm not really interested because I have been a fan of Final Fantasy since the first one, you know, and 1-9 had this very... It seemed like it was evolving and it seemed like it was changing. It wasn't always the same game, but it always felt like a Final Fantasy. You know, it always felt like you had these elements, and you always felt like you were in the same universe, even though you were in a different game and a different world. Since 10, I have felt like the games have just sort of veered off into this strange direction, and it's a whole different franchise now. And I feel like they're just tacking the name on, trying to keep this dead franchise alive. But that's just my opinion. I know there's a lot of people who liked 13, and there's a lot of people who are still excited, and who are very excited about 13, too.
Well, speaking of other people's opinions, I feel like we should take this opportunity to point out, if you have an opinion about anything that we've said on the podcast, please share it with us. Comment on our website.
Go to Facebook.
Like us on Facebook. You can comment on that page.
You can tell us. You can go to Twitter and tell us to fuck off.
Mm-hmm. And then write more tweets. Tweet them more.
We love getting angry tweets.
I got a death threat the other day at work.
Lucky.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that you'll have something to say about this because there's 2 Halo titles coming out, which everybody.
Halo!
God, Halo!
I'm actually more excited about Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it's a bit of a horror of a game because, you know, it's kind of like the special edition of Star Wars, but hopefully it'll be better.
Less CGI.
Yeah, I mean, it's being announced alongside another Halo title, and it's, you know, coming after Reach and ODST, but I think even though this is kind of franchise milking, I'm excited for it because I kind of missed the boat, the Halo boat. I never had an Xbox. I only had a 360, so I missed the original
Halo, Halo 2.
So I'm sure there's a lot of, nostalgia gamers out there who are going to be looking forward to a revamp of this classic.
I got the Xbox, probably my first day of high school, I mean, or something like that. And it came with Halo. Oh, I got Halo with it. Mm-hmm. And, Halo was probably, one of my games I played the most. I played with, it's very nostalgic of,
That's probably what they're counting on, too. People being like, oh, yeah, this has been great,
I was griping about the other two franchise milking games. This is definitely franchise milking also.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited about
it. If they use the improvements that they've made, from Halo 3 and Reach and put in, Forge and the armor customization and the commendations in-game and things... They could definitely make it something worth purchasing.
This is basically them doing. This is basically Bungie doing what Nintendo did with GoldenEye and with. Didn't they release? Was that the only one they remastered in
GoldenEye?
Yeah.
Well, GoldenEye
wasn't remastered. Yeah, it was completely redone.
But it was the same game, though, wasn't it?
No, it was the same story, basically. Oh. But they even updated the story. I mean, I think they had the screenwriter from the original GoldenEye come back and write, new dialogue for Daniel Craig. And
The levels are different.
Right, to update the story so that it happens.
Different, weren't
they? See, I never played it. That's not how it was pitched, though.
They were slightly different. They weren't that different that much.
This is GoldenEye back, and you're going to love it.
It's not like they're completely different. They're slightly different.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, the dam has a much different feel to it than the original.
Yeah. We played the first level. It did capture the feel of the first GoldenEye, but it was a different game. They updated it.
Yeah.
Which, I'm sure they'll update Halo, but... Either way, Halo 4, I would say, is... I'm not as excited about that one as I am about Halo Combat Evolved, but I'm sure there's lots of people who are.
I'm angry about it.
There are people on both sides, Halo 4 is not by Bungie.
Why are you angry about it?
Because the Halo 3 is... That trilogy. I was even a little like, why is ODST coming out? Why is Reach coming out? And 4 not even being worked on by Bungie is just infuriating to me.
But Halo 3 ended on, a cliffhanger. It was very obvious there was going to be a Halo 4 if you played through Halo 3.
ODST and Reach weren't at Master Chief.
Yeah. Master Chief again.
It just bothers me.
This is a whole new trilogy.
I'm not saying it's not franchise. No, I know. But I'm just saying it was... I knew it was coming.
Well, I mean, they've called this a new trilogy, so 4, 5, and 6 are coming. 5 and 6 are going to come out also.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not angry. I think it should have waited at least a year or two later. I think it's too soon after Reach.
I mean, I think
they just announced it though.
Yeah, I think the one thing to say about it is there's not a whole lot to say about it because there was really just a teaser trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, it made it look kind of cool. Didn't reveal much about the gameplay or the story, except it did show that Master Chief comes back.
Cortana.
Yeah. So, I guess the one thing that I would say that's a little suspect towards what Eric is saying is that it's not by Bungie. Right. So if Bungie was finished with the story of Halo, it begs the question, do we really need a fourth Halo? I'm sure many of you say yes.
Well, I mean, I think Bungie purposely left the end of Halo 3 open because they knew that Microsoft was going to be continuing it.
Money.
Reach was Bungie's last Halo game, but they knew that there was going to be more. Everyone knew there was going to be more. Bungie isn't, when Bungie made Halo 3, they were owned by Microsoft.
Yeah. Right.
They're not owned by Microsoft anymore, but Microsoft owns Halo. Yeah.
Right. So, I think it's definitely an example of franchise milking,
yes.
Good or bad.
Yes.
I don't think we'll be able to say much about it until we learn more about the game. The franchise isn't exactly dead, which brings me to my next point. There's also a lot of things that were announced, like a lot of the threes, and like Zelda Skyward Sword, and things like that that I can't really call franchise milking, because at least for me, Zelda is still a franchise that's alive and kicking.
Yeah. Even though, I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of just the same thing over and over again. But for some reason, that's okay with Zelda.
I mean,
I don't know, it's still milking.
You could call it, maybe Nintendo's just better at milking than Microsoft and Sony.
Well, they always add something new to each new installment.
Yeah, there's right always there. Something new. But like, I mean, like, if you think about it, the Zelda story, you know, it's like Mario. Like, you're always saving the print. Like, it's right. always... Like, the core mechanics are the same. Like, you go through dungeons, you collect the thing, you get a boomerang and a hookshot, and you equip it. Like,
and I feel like with sword. I feel like with Mario and with Zelda...
not always a Master Sword.
That's true.
With this Zelda, other than the mistake that was Wind Waker, the franchise continues...
I like Wind Waker.
I didn't.
Why?
I'm curious. That's a whole other story.
Okay. Besides the fact that they released it before they actually finished it.
Yeah. I mean, mostly it had to do with the map and the water. I mean,
that's fair.
It wasn't that I didn't like the game. I couldn't get through it because it was too much traveling.
Well, you know me, I'm a man of the sea. Yeah. So.
But I mean, I think that the Zelda franchise continues to deliver familiar but ever-changing gameplay and different storylines and atmosphere, but still stays true to the franchise. Like I said, it could just be that they're better at milking the franchise. But I'm okay with that in particular.
It's not like they're taking a first person shooter and slapping this Zelda name on it.
It's certainly not. What, did they?
Yeah, they had that shooter.
Oh, yeah. The
crossbow training.
It's certainly not like what Fable is doing with the journey.
Yeah.
And it's like I said, the threes. You know, Mass Effect 3, Gears of War 3. I feel like they fit into trilogies. Mass Effect is always going to be a trilogy.
Yeah.
I think Gears has always been a trilogy.
Yeah, Gears, if you play through, it's definitely...
And Just Dance 3, I mean, just...
That's a trilogy.
And Just Dance trilogy.
And any of those games...
The climactic conclusion to the Just Dance trilogy.
You just dance again.
All you do is dance, Johnny! Yeah, Mama! Well, that's all I've ever known! Thanks to you! But any of those games, like Just Dance or, like Guitar Hero, things like that that are
man, the Guitar Hero teat has been milked dry.
Right. Those are franchises that are just, they are meant to be milked. Mm. Like the wrestling games and like the and then of course there's Mario franchise milking. It's been going on with Mario games like Mario Kart, Mario Party, Mario Golf, Mario S&M Fiesta.
That one's my favorite.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Realistic weapon action.
Mm-hmm. But basically, the formula, you attach the Mario name to some...
Stroking any game?
Basically, the formula where you attach the Mario name to some sort of sports or minigame-based game, and poof, you've got a classic. I mean, they're fun. It's as simple a formula as attaching Luigi to a project that's bound to fail.
Ooh.
Is that a Luigi Mansion reference?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
Luigi Mansion was
Mario
bad.
Was missing. Anyway, but... Mario franchise milking happens, again, I think that plays into the fact that Nintendo is just really good at milking franchises. I'm not sure that Microsoft or Sony are as good at milking franchises. I feel like...
Oh, they're also newer to the gaming industry than Nintendo is.
Nintendo also tends to space their big titles out more.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
that's true.
We get one Smash Brothers a console.
Yeah, like there's usually...
Mario is usually one or two.
One, big, like, I mean, you get Mario Party and everything, but like an actual Super Mario Brothers game is kind of rare. You know, same thing with, Zelda, Metroid.
Perhaps Microsoft will get better at it, and in 10 years they'll be Master Chief Bowling or something.
I can't wait.
Wasn't there a Sonic, like, pinball?
Yeah. Sonic Pinball. Yeah. Sonic Pinball. That's a great game.
Yeah.
You know what? All right,
I think that brings us to our picks for Game of the Show. Picks. So, why don't we start with Eric over here. What did you think was your favorite game to come out of E3 this year?
Honestly, I'm really looking forward to Dark Souls. Because, I never got to play Demon's Souls. I have a PS3, but my PS3 is one of the old models without a wireless connection. I got it back when I had a wired connection, now I don't. And one of the big things of Demon's Souls is being online and playing... and trying to finish the story, and then this jerk comes up and kills you. Or this guy's leaving a note here, or such. And with Dark Souls now also coming to the 360, I'm really looking forward to finally being able to get to jump on this. And, you know, a lot of my friends love Demon Souls, and now that I'm going to be able to play it, I'm hoping I enjoy it just as much. And then I have another title I'm looking forward to. It's not a big publicized title. It's just this arcade game coming out called Skullgirls, which is basically a fighting game. It's like a tag team fighting game with an all-female cast that looks like it's just going to be a lot of fun.
Is it a game for girls?
It's a game for whoever likes girls.
I like girls.
I like girls, too. All
right. Meyer?
I like girl skulls.
Skull.
That took a dark turn. Yeah. Meyer, brighten it up. What was your favorite thing of E3?
I liked a lot of games, but to pick one game, I would probably say Mass Effect 3. And that's very biased for me, because I absolutely love Mass Effect.
I think it's in the nature of the beast. Your favorite pick is going to be biased. I don't think you're an unbiased that's favorite.
No, that's like,
without injecting any opinion to it at all, my favorite thing.
Just because it's going to wrap this trilogy up, and I went through this whole story of Shepard, and now I'm going to finally end his or her story. And I don't know, I'm just really excited. And the Kinect stuff, maybe it might be stupid, but, you know, it's kind of, like, in my head, I was thinking of watching, I was like, you know what? It's not like I'm saying what Shepard's going to say. I'm like the voice in Shepard's head, like, you're going to say this. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
You're his Jiminy Cricket?
Yep, I'm not his or her.
It might not be the end of the franchise. You might have John Shepard tennis or something.
I'm Commander Shepard. This is my favorite spinoff of the Citadel.
It's William Shepard. Well, anyway.
Yours is.
That's true. And then Boob Shepard.
What's a Jack Shepard?
He does kind of look like Matthew Fox, the regular Shepard.
Jack Shepard's spinal surgery.
But yeah, I am excited. I'm going to get my old crew back and have Caden, because I kill Ashley. And it's going to be a good time.
Spoilers.
Ed?
Skyrim all the way, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you heard me go off on that tangent last week about, well, you know, and if you didn't, you should download the show.
Speaking of franchise milk, can you tell us why you like the fifth Elder Scrolls game?
All right, well, because I feel like that's different too.
Whatever. It was always planned to be five
games. It's only the plan.
Spanning multiple consoles.
I have my opinions, and I think that games should be made when I like them, and only when I like them.
And have dragons in them.
I mean, I loved Oblivion. I don't really know much about Skyrim. It could be crap, but I don't think it's going to be.
Oh, no, it looks good.
It looks nice. It's gonna be crap. I loved Oblivion. I'm really I really like Bethesda. I like, you know, I love their games. I loved Fallout 3, and I
hate their glitches, though.
I don't like their glitches, but the good news about it is that they took so many years. Like, Oblivion came out, like, what, five, like, ridiculous, a long time ago. I don't know how many years.
Probably first when first came out.
And if I could interject for one second, Bethesda made Brink.
I know. I'll forgive them.
It was like 6 years, I think it came out.
Yeah, it was like 6 years. It was a long time ago. They took, unlike New Vegas, they took 6 years to make this game. So they shouldn't have any of those.
It's a new system too. So
right.
Refined.
So they shouldn't have any of those glitches. New Vegas came out too quickly. They should have waited. It should. I mean, I'm very happy that it came out because I love it.
Hey, what do you mean? When you first start, the HUD is yellow. In Fallout 3, it was green.
What is
this? It's totally different.
But like I said, I mean, I just loved Oblivion, and I'm looking forward to Skyrim. And I love those kind of games.
Yeah, Ryan?
A lot of people were skeptical about this, but my pick has got to be Minecraft for the Xbox. People have said, why would you take a perfectly good PC game and port it over to a console?
Why would you take a perfectly good PC game
and port it over to a console? It's
Fortress Craft, Ryan. Alex just said it.
Well,
I was asking Ryan.
I'm excited about it because all of the PCs that I own are old and crappy PCs that can't muster up the graphics card righteousness that you need to render Minecraft graphics. Because even though it looks all crappy and blocky, each one of those little blocks is a point of data that the GPU has to render into a picture for you. And it takes a lot of horsepower under the hood. So the only way I can actually play Minecraft, and I bought it when it was in alpha, and I've loved it since then, is with all of the fancy graphics turned off, smooth lighting turned off, advanced OpenGL turned off, and it still runs. It lags like a fat kid on a 10-mile run.
And he actually needs to attach his computer to an exercise bike and constantly be pedaling to actually power.
I'm not gonna lie, Ryan. I'm looking forward to that too, because I bought Fortress Craft, and it's kind of a watered down version of Minecraft, and it'd be nice to see.
Minecraft is going to be Kinect, right? For the Kinect.
Yeah.
Plus, you're going to feel really powerful just placing cubes with your hands
or creating. I am God. Or actually having to dig my pickaxe.
That's got to feel really powerful. Just creating this whole world around you using your
getting the pissed off at creepers. Yeah, the giant exploding green dicks.
We're gonna come over one day, and Ryan's just gonna be like, "Kneel before me, worms.
I've created a world.
Damn it!
I made golden cocks all over my world."
All right. As for me, personally, the game I'm most excited for that came out of E3 was Assassin's Creed Revelations. I know it's the third game to come out of Assassin's Creed 2. It's franchise milking again. It's the fourth game in the series, but I love the story of Assassin's Creed so much. I will, I'm going to get this the first day it comes out. I'm looking forward to the refined multiplayer. I was just playing the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood multiplayer again today. I got so into the game, and I popped it back in and was playing that. And, it's just, I'm looking forward to finishing Ezio's storyline. I want to find out what's happening with Desmond. It'll be good to play as Altair again. And I really like that they made Ezio look older.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there wasn't too much of a difference between in Brotherhood from Assassin's Creed 2 with the way the character looks. But Ezio looks like an older man now. He looks he's in his mid-50s. He's seen shit. Oh. He is a weathered old man now. But he still moves like a motherfucker.
So good.
Yeah. And Maya's really looking forward to it, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I am one of those people that loves the Assassin's Creed multiplayer. I love the way it works. It's patience, stalking your prey. Never knowing when someone's going to jump out and stab you in the throat. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm glad it's coming out this year. And then next year will be Assassin's Creed 3.
New person. Oof.
Definitely.
I'm being kind of tired of Ezio. No offense, Ezio.
It lets me brush up on my Italian.
I think Ezio's coming up behind you.
No good.
So one could say that Assassin's Creed Revolution is...
Revelation.
What did I say?
Revolution.
I hate you so much.
I do. That Revelations is a franchise milking of Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, but in the defense of Brotherhood and I'm assuming Revelations, they tell an important story. It's not just something that's tacked on. It is integral to the story of Assassin's Creed. And from what they've been saying about Revelations, it's going to wrap up. It's going to answer all the questions that they've created through these first three games and set the stage for Assassin's Creed 3, which you will presumably save the world in.
It's franchise milking, but good franchise milking.
The milk of this teat is
so good.
I have said chocolate milk. Good milking.
I think that should end our super awesome, spectacular E3 episode.
Yeah.
Tune in next week. We'll get back to our regular Ragnarok format with some... We'll hopefully be with some interviews.
The regular format that you're so used to.
Yeah, one exactly.
The storied history of
people.
Ragnarok.
People are slipping into this groove pretty easily. We'll have reviews and news and all the things that you love here at Ragnarok. So tune in next time.
Can I jump in real quick?
Yep.
I'd like to give a plug to the Game Table in Mineola, New York. I buy a lot of my games there. They're a great gaming store, and they're letting us advertise there.
All right, yeah. Where are they? Where are they?
They're at 167 East Jericho Turnpike in Mineola, New York. I could give you some contact information. Let me turn these pages loudly so the microphone is happy.
The microphone actually really didn't hear that.
Yeah,
but
so
now
thanks.
That
hold on. Let's take that up.
Is that better?
Yeah.
All right. You can get to their website at gamerterrain.com. You can email them at thegametable@yahoo.com. Or if you live in the area, you could just go there and buy a lot of cool things like I often do.
You mean every week?
Well, almost.
Like, I think they deserve a better. That was a terrible endorsement.
You can go to the game table and turn your paycheck over to Dave, the owner.
Okay. Well, until next time, I'm Alex.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Ed.
I'm Meyer.
And I'm Eric.
Thanks for listening. And remember, the Ragnarok is nigh.
Yeah.